Well, hello and welcome to Connect, Inspire, Create. I'm your host, Carol Clegg, a progress and mindset business coach here to help you thrive and flourish and turn those challenges into opportunities for growth. I'm so pleased you're here. Join me for the discussions that I hope will not only encourage you, but also provide the dose of inspiration that you might just need today. This podcast is all about giving you your weekly dose of practical strategies, motivation, and insightful conversations designed to boost your business skills, personal growth, and happiness. So, whether you're looking to find balance, say goodbye to procrastination, or just in need of a friendly nudge towards your goals, remember, we're all on this journey together. So grab your favorite cup of something, be it coffee, tea, or something else, and let's dive into this conversation today. Well, welcome everybody. In today's episode, I am joined by my guest and fellow positive intelligence coach, Angie Alexander. And Angie has really been an inspiration for me and so much encouragement as I have walked into my journey of integrating positive intelligence into my coaching practice. So welcome, Angie, and thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me, Carol. I'm really excited.
That, yeah, we've got so much to cover, but before we jump into just sharing a little bit about you, I would love to talk about celebration because I think we often don't slow down in our busyness of our world and all our to-do lists. What can we celebrate with you today?
Well, I mean, the big one is I took some time, extended a trip that I was on so that I could enjoy the eclipse in totality on Monday. So yeah, that was a pretty big celebration to just put pause, not feel guilty about all the things I wasn't getting home to. But yeah,
Absolutely.
so
Yeah. And was it
that was really wonderful.
amazing?
It was amazing, and I did it with a very good friend, and it'll be a core memory for us,
Fantastic.
for
Yeah,
sure.
we
Yeah.
didn't get
So
much
yeah.
here. We weren't really on its path. But yeah, I thought of you enjoying that. So fantastic.
We drove, we chased, we ran away from the clouds so that we could be in the path
you
of totality and with clear skies. So it was
fantastic.
super fun.
Yeah. So just a reminder to my listeners, take time out in your day and just ponder something that has gone well for you or that you've succeeded with. It can be something so small. And just take time out to celebrate because we can always be rushing. But I'd love to tell my listeners a little bit more about you, Angie. And then we're going to dig into some of where that journey has taken you. So Angie is a professional engineer, a leadership and a team effectiveness consultant. She's also a speaker and then a certified mental fitness coach. And after over 20 years in the oil and gas industry in Alberta, Angie realized her technical background, combined with her people-oriented approach to working with leaders and their teams, was her superpower. And I know that Angie loves nothing more than to support, encourage, lift up. I've already shared I've been the benefit of that in my space and just help people be their best professional selves. So, along with that, she is an empathetic coach and facilitator who supports technical professionals, leaders, and teams work better together and really has a passion for bringing teams together to work more effectively, make better decisions, be more innovative and think strategically. But with that, Angie, I would love to hear from your perspective. If you were meeting somebody for the first time, how would you introduce yourself and let somebody get to know you?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I always wish I had more of that like funky first line.
Now, this is you. This
I
is
know
just
I realize
like,
that. So it's one of
right.
those, yeah, absolutely. So for me, I talk a lot about I'll tell people that I'm an engineer turned leadership coach turned mental fitness coach. Often I get an eyebrow raise when I mention mental fitness. So what's that? And I love to talk about how throughout my whole career, even when I was doing technical engineering work, and probably even back in university when I was studying engineering, I've always been fascinated by how people think and how they communicate and how they interact with each other and how that really impacts our ability to collaborate and make decisions. And so that passion, which I may not have even been able to tell you what it was, has always brought me back to people and helping support people and my fascination and empathy around how people work. So I usually talk a bit about that and then wait and see what comes back
That's, yeah, I
from
love it
that.
that that passion was sort of, from way back then. You might not have necessarily recognized it, but they talk about when we plot the little pieces of our lives together and we see certain things that were way back then, how they come through and still serve us later
And
in
maybe
life.
even weren't valued earlier in my, especially in a technical career. It's, I may have even suppressed a certain amount of it just because it's not what we were rewarded for or valued for. So that's
Recognized
been a big, big change too.
that,
So yeah, for
So,
sure.
I mean, I would love to know because here I know the little bit about you being in the oil and gas industry and the technical industry. That journey, which is a long time, 2 decades, and the where you are now, and obviously you're using some of that background to contribute. What caused the shift? When did you decide,
Yeah, the easy to the decision was thrust upon me when I was laid off from a corporate role. So there was some navel gazing and what do I want to really want to be when I grow up moment. So that was the harsh point of decision. I think prior to that, I had had an opportunity to come back. The company that ultimately laid me off had brought me back. I had worked for them, left, came back, and they brought me back into a role that had never existed before. It was a newly created role that brought a lot of these skills together, the facilitating conversations, how we make decisions, how do we have the right people in the room. So I was brought back into that role and it evolved over the course of 5 years to eventually we had six rounds of layoffs and I kind of, dodged and weaved my way through most of them. And the final one, just before I got laid off, they put me in human resources doing this. Organizational effectiveness is what they called it, which is really when I sat back and looked at it, I'm like, I thought I'd won the lottery. I'm finally doing all the things that are like in my superpower. I'm working with senior leaders. I'm helping them, they're asking for my advice. I'm able to be very firm with them around what they need to do. And they respect me and they listen to me. And I have the technical knowledge to be able to guide them, say the right words business-wise, but ultimately be like, this is how you need to lead your people. Have you thought about this? What's the strategy? What's the vision? All of those things. So I had a taste of it and then I got laid off and I thought, this is it. I need to continue to focus on doing this. So that was almost 7 years ago now. And I've just been finding my way through what that exactly looks like. And yeah,
But in a much
that's
happier place, I'm sure now.
absolutely.
That it suits your lifestyle, getting in little bits of travel and things like that, that you've been your own boss.
Yeah, lots of
This,
positives around that and certainly took some time to fully embrace what that meant.
that's fantastic. So I'd love to ask you, thinking of, and I think you've sort of shared it with me, is the background has led you into that, and then you found what's basically lighting your fire. But is there a habit that you feel might have contributed to your success as a coach?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I again, if I kind of go back over the years, I think I've always had a curiosity around people and that understanding of the fact that we're all a little different, right? That everyone's unique. And even within, I mean, definitely within a company where we all have different functional roles, there's differences depending on the function that you're in. And even within the functions, right? The interesting ways that people would say things and do things. And so I think I was always, I realized now there was a certain amount of, interestingly enough, a lack of my own confidence in my technical knowledge that caused me to ask a lot of questions of other people. So even though I realize now that was, it was a bit of my judge voice, my negative inner self-talk. But ultimately really helped me to ask questions, learn more, to not feel like I was the smartest person in the room, right? That there were others who knew more and helping translate how they were saying things and understanding. I used to think of myself as a translator a lot of times around the different functions, right? I'd come back and someone would say, well, that doesn't make sense. I'm like, well, this is what they said, and I think this is what they meant. And then pulling it all together into a nice description for people.
It's interesting, because you spoke about the judge, and there's some terminology that you and I both understand really well with our positive intelligence background. But I think that that is such can be such a loud voice in so many people's heads, just exploring. And then also in conjunction with that, you spoke about the differences in sort of translating the languages. I'd love to share a little bit about our background in positive intelligence and just ask you about these saboteurs and how that translates into the voices that you're hearing and then kind of bringing them together to work with each
Sure.
other.
Yeah, sure. So yeah, so for your listeners who are not as familiar or not haven't heard of positive intelligence, we learn about these voices, these characters that play in our head, and the voices that we hear, and led by the judge voice, which is that for me, for sure, my judge likes to tell me I'm not smart enough, I'm not successful. Any room that I come into, she's jumping around and telling me that everyone else is smarter than me. I don't belong there. Who wants to listen to me? That sort of chatter, even though the data supports the opposite of that, right? You know, you have a engineering degree and you have a successful career and all of these things, and you know, people tell you that you're smart and intelligent, but that voice can be very loud and convincing. So that's the we all have a version of that, the judge. I always think of that judge being the one that drives it all, and you know, maybe a bit of a puppeteer pulling in all the other ones. And then there's nine other ones that we have, or in varying degrees, and typically we will have two to four that are the most prominent in our profile. There's a assessment you can do to learn who your saboteurs, we call them saboteurs, are. And mine in particular, I have a pleaser and an avoider are kind of my top two. So those two combined with the judge can really create quite a story that can be told. On one hand, my pleaser likes for always seeking validation from other people in terms of, Angie, you're such a great person. You're so kind. I want to do things. That pleaser drives me to do things so that I get that feedback from people about me being a good person. And also what it does is I don't tend to set my own boundaries very well because I'm doing things for other people at my own expense. And I definitely would see that a lot in like doing a lot of things. And especially once you become a, you know, a wife and a mother and an employee and all of these things, trying to keep everybody happy. And it shows up in my coaching every once in a while. I have to be like, okay, hold on a second. Can't be all things to all people.
You're right.
And it can make me very resentful of, you know, I give and give and I get this voice that says, well, you're giving all the time and you're coaching people all the time. And then, you know, but you have to go pay for your own coach, right? Like all of those kinds of
Right,
things, right? It's
right.
very resentment based. And then the avoider is a whole other like character in that mix who likes to avoid conflict. So I want people to like me. And so I definitely don't want to create any conflict. So I'll, you know, dance around, you
And
know,
those
oh.
difficult conversations, because I can relate to you on that one because that's one of
Oh,
mine.
yes.
And
Yeah.
the impact of the avoider, I mean, even if it's not the conversations that we should have and that we don't want to go into because we don't want to upset people, but it's the avoiding even of the tasks.
Yes, 100%.
And that then comes back to these boundaries. And
Yes.
you kind of put something off, and then what is the impact of that? Is, oh my goodness, I wish I'd done it yesterday.
That's right. And it maybe wasn't such a big deal after all. Like there's, yeah, the avoider
Right.
will be like, well, maybe it'll go away. Maybe it'll go away. Or the task, you know, and then it gets bigger than you think it's going to be. And it kind of plays around
Right.
in your
Yeah. Yeah.
subconscious of like, oh, I'm avoiding it. And I'll go do other things
Right.
and not get that,
Yeah.
get to the task at hand.
Yeah.
So
And then
yeah,
the judge has a
absolutely.
field day with
Absolutely. Yeah,
blowing up the avoider. And
okay.
see, you
Yeah.
did it again. But
Exactly. Yeah.
I know that we have techniques that we share with our clients that can quieten those very loud voices. And it's a beautiful journey. It really is that you watch people, start off somewhere and not necessarily believe that this is possible, but they can actually make that adjustment. And you can help me on this one because I know there's been a bit of research done that even after people have completed the very basic boot camp, and was the MRIs or something was done to see the pattern and the change in the gray matter after
Yes.
such a short period of
Yes.
time?
What I do know that I recall that I quote to people often is not even so much the boot camp specifically, call them PQ reps. So positive intelligence is PQ. And then reps, like when you go to the gym and you do your bicep curls or the reps in the gym. So in the positive intelligence world, it's based on our physical sensations. And so the fMRI machines hooked up to our brains would show that for every, even within the 10 seconds that we might do, if we take two fingertips and rub them gently against each other and really focus on feeling the ridges on those fingers, what they see under the fMRI machine is positive side of our sage side of our brain lighting up while we do that. And over time, that other side, the more negative side, not lighting up. And I guess atrophy might be the good word, that it starts to like shrink a little bit. So even just 10 seconds at a time, we're seeing that change. And what we're doing is we're rewiring the neural pathways in our brain to practice going, when we have a response to something, we're going down that, I always think of it, I'm like running down a neural pathway, and I have the choice to go to the negative or to the positive side. And we're pretty pre-wired to go to the negative side for a lot of reasons, survival reasons. The positive side is available to us. It's just like a path that's so overgrown we don't see it. So pausing and practicing, and we can practice in the gym, start wearing a different path, and we then can use it in the moment as well, when we need it. So
And that's the
yeah.
beauty, is pulling in on that. It's interesting what triggered for me right now when you shared that rewiring of the neural pathways. I don't normally set New Year goals. I go between having a word and then just an intention for the first quarter. And last year, so 2023, I remember writing in my journal, my intention for this year is to rewire the neural pathways in my brain. No idea, and I wasn't part of positive intelligence then.
Oh, you didn't know what that meant. Really?
No, so that
Yeah,
was
yeah.
like, this is my intention. This is what I'm going to do. And it was, it's been so amazing because here I am moving into my second year with positive intelligence. And,
Yeah.
there was the goal back in 2023. And oh, yes, I have definitely seen the difference. And then the beauty of the simplicity. And so, yes, we can get into so much more that can support us in so many other aspects. But if we just get the gym reps
Yes.
together and pull
Yes.
on them,
Yes.
that's beautiful.
Yeah.
But before we move wrap up our conversation, I know with you working in the company's coaching and bringing coaching into the workplace and company culture, any advice for others that are listening and going, well, how do you get this overview of a company culture and you go, oh my goodness, this is just the perfect space to bring in some coaching and getting into coaching in the work, do you find a lot of resistance to coaching in the workspace?
I mean, it's definitely culture, like it's dependent on the company, absolutely. There can be a sense of coaching is only for remedial work, would be one thing that often comes up. Oh, like somebody's on some kind of performance plan and we're going to give them some coaching. And so that's not always the best way. I don't love that coaching. I don't do much of that. And I've done some, and it's the other thing that happens is often people think that coaching is only for executives, right? For the C-suite, only the very top level people get coaching. So part of it is helping people understand that, everyone can use a coach. And I think where I ha personally have a unique advantage, and I think you or one of your listeners may not have my specific unique advantage, but it's finding that unique advantage that you have. So because I have an engineering background and I used to do that kind of work, I it's a bit of an in, it's street cred, right? That, if I come in and start talking about rewiring neural pathways or talking about things, they'll at least listen to me initially about that. And I might, so that can really help. And then I think the other thing that I think I've learned is really important is I don't lead with, you need a coach. Right. I don't lead with, I have this, either whether it's the mental fitness program or even just coaching in general. I don't often lead with that. It's having a really interesting conversation with people, asking them all the good coaching questions that we know about, like what are their challenges? Tell me more about that. It's getting them talking about themselves and unearthing some of their challenges. And then you can turn it around and say, like, we've had a really good conversation today. I can see that you have some challenges. Like, How are you working through those challenges? And
Right.
then I may speak into, you know what, a coach has a very unique role, right? I'm not your manager. I'm not your peer. I'm not your spouse. I'm not your friend, even, right? I have no connection, or my only goal is to help you and you alone,
Right.
right?
And the company
Yeah,
ultimately.
right, exactly. And so that often gets people thinking. And it's, I think, especially if you just use all your kind of coaching superpowers in conversation,
Right.
can be really helpful. So
Right.
yeah, I'm not sure if that was exactly the question you
No,
answered, but
that's a perfect answer. And I would just, I'm going to come back to something, but because of that and because of what you shared, and that is the space that you work in, I'm going to jump ahead to what is the best way people can contact you and get to learn more about what you do in the company space.
So really the best way is either through LinkedIn. You can find me on LinkedIn, which I think you're gonna
We'll
probably
put
put in
that in
the
the
show
show
notes.
notes.
And also my website has some information there as well.
Perfect.
Those
And
are
that
the
is
easiest ways.
sageleaderconsulting.com.
Yes,
Perfect.
that's
So we'll
right.
make sure those are in the show notes. But
Thank
before I
you.
let you go, I'd love to ask you just for one takeaway if somebody was listening to this episode and the spectrum that we've covered and taking care of your mental health and the wonderful advantage. I mean, I can see that in changing company cultures, less staff turnover. There's just so many different spaces that you could go into. But what would be some advice that you, what would be the takeaway that you'd love for them to just kind of hang on to?
I think often it's, you know, I'm always, and this comes up in conversations you and I are part of, is finding your own, we call it sage. That's why my company is Sage Leadership. It's finding your own sage before you enter into conversations. And so doing the work for yourself and showing up in that way, it draws people into you. They, you know, when you're not all hijacked by those nasty saboteurs and you're in kind of settled into your own brilliance, essentially, and showing up that way. So I think doing the work for yourself and making sure you're there, or doing the work alongside your clients, right? Like we
Right.
talked about that, as you're, you know, we're doing the work too. We're not perfect, and we're
Yes.
growing and learning also. And I
Absolutely.
grow and learn so much from my clients. And so that it's a symbiotic type relationship,
It's
right?
a journey that, and I love that because absolutely, you know, that's why we get hijacked if we're not doing the work with ourselves.
Correct. It's
So,
one of those cycles, right? If you're not doing the
that's
work, you're going to get
right.
hijacked.
You
And
get
when,
it. Yeah, that's wonderful. Well, Angie, thank you so much. I will make sure that all the links are there for people to reach out and connect with you if they have any questions. And thank you for being my guest today.
Of course. Thanks for having me. That was a great conversation. I
Thank
appreciate it.
you for listening today. If our conversation has sparked some inspiration for you, or you could just, somebody comes to mind that you think of, they need to listen to this episode. I ask you please to go ahead and share it with others. And today, I encourage you, embrace your own unique way of connecting, inspiring, or creating, and let it bring a sense of joy into your world. In my role as a coach, I love to work with women, business owners, entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, and help them explore fresh ways to focus on their projects, find the right tools for accountability, and learn how to build a positive mindset, which in turn allows for more empathy, not only for yourself, but for others and situations. With my personalized accountability and progress coaching, which I combine with the powerful positive intelligence program, you will find ways to shift into an overall happier space. If you would like to take the complimentary saboteur assessment, I offer a follow-up complimentary coaching session to help you explore your results. Do take a note of the link in the show notes or visit my site, carolclegg.com. Until the next time, thanks for listening.